welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a loaded show for you here today. Kyle Tucker from The Athletic will join us at 7:45. Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, drops by at 8:30. And then our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 9 o'clock. Lots of things going on in the NFL right now, so we'll have plenty of news to talk about with Charles Robinson coming up. And as always, we'll take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how are you doing?
Doing just super. You Thanks look, for asking.
You're very welcome. Ryan Porth, how are you doing? You look great in there again, once again today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm doing phenomenal.
That's good.
Yeah.
All righty.
That's the old school Titans hat.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice. That's in the rotation.
You got your Packers hat on.
It's a lot of football talk today.
Let's get all the hats accounted for.
And Rex Road again, without a hat today. Hair just flowing in the wind.
Look, man, it's like Roman Yossi and I. We both have the same kind of deal, yeah. You know?
Just look good no matter what you do.
Yeah, you look good, you feel good.
Joe, we have a resolution here in Nashville to the Isaiah Wilson saga. We were wondering if and when this was going to happen, and I think lately it's trending more towards when this is going to happen with Isaiah Wilson. The Titans yesterday, and this coming, I believe Ian Rappaport had it first, have traded Isaiah Wilson to the Miami Dolphins. They will send a 7th-round pick in 2022 and Wilson to Miami for a 2021 7th-rounder to complete the deal. So basically just swapping 7th-round picks for this year and next year, and Isaiah Wilson now in Miami. What was your reaction when you saw that the Titans were actually able to get, I guess, something out of Isaiah Wilson's deal? And now that he is gone, what do you think about all this?
So who had it first?
I think Rappaport had the actual trade.
I just want to make sure, because, you know, we actually reported on the show that they were trying to trade him, but then we tried to give Rappaport that credit for that. So
we love Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, we love the rap sheet. Well, look, it's a pretty big deal for the Titans to do this to get this done. You know, I had some conversations with a source last night about this whole situation, and, you know, essentially – no financial benefit is what I was told, but there is a financial benefit to just not paying him beyond this. Obviously you could have cut him, but this helps you unload him, obviously, and, you know, you swap picks, and I don't know if I'm shocked or not. I mean, I get it. I've seen a lot of reaction out of Miami that's sort of like, well, that kind of talent? Heck yeah. I mean, that happens a lot in this league.
Sure.
So – and hey, you know what? I hope the Dolphins fans who are excited about this, and the Dolphins are right, and he figures it out and plays well for them. But for the Titans, I think this had to happen, and it's probably the best outcome they could have hoped for.
Now, I will throw the caveat in there that he's still got to pass a physical once the new league year begins, and for the trade to be officially completed. And look, I did have the thought, like, I have no idea if he's going to pass this physical or not. I mean, I'm not keeping up with Isaiah Wilson personally. I don't know how good of in shape he is, but that was at least the thought that crossed my mind of, you know, maybe he doesn't pass the physical. I know some Titans fans were talking about that on Twitter last night as well.
Well, to that point, I want to say, was it Austin Stanley tweet? I think he tweeted, was it a picture of Isaiah Wilson with something around his hand? Did you see this?
I did not.
All right. Well, I'm going to find it now. Like that looked like a wrap, like maybe he had injured his hand. So, which, you know.
Oh, I see that now. Yes. Austin Stanley from A to Z Sports.
Yeah. Let me. Okay. You've beat me to it by far here. I thought I saw that last night.
Yeah, it just like looked like his hand's in a wrap.
His hand's in a wrap. So what does that mean?
I don't know. It's a good question.
There's always interesting pictures and videos of Isaiah Wilson
yes,
out there.
That's what we've learned throughout this process so far.
If he fails the physical...
I'm just saying, there's a chance.
If he fails the physical, I mean, does that make it even an even bigger bust that you even tried to trade him and just move on and he couldn't even pass a physical?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's already quite high on the bus list.
It's pretty high up there.
But, yeah, I suppose so.
If out of 10, the bust factor is 9.5 on this, or 9.8, 9.9, feel like failing the physical on a trade to get you out of town would make it a 10 out of 10. Or maybe even 11 out of 10.
Yeah. I was going to say 10.3. 10.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We'll keep our eyes peeled on that. It's got to be officially completed when the new league year begins. And if it doesn't, he reverts back to the Titans. So we'll keep our eyes on that. But a lot of reaction yesterday that, you know, John Robinson able to get, I guess, something out of this. Now, you're swapping seventh-round picks, so it's not like you're really getting anything out of this. But I think just to get him off the books and to your point, to unload this, if the deal goes through and if he passes the physical, I think just good at this point for the Titans to move on. Now, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, just overly praise John Robinson for this. I mean, this was his draft pick. This is a first-round pick that is not going to do anything for your team. And as bad as he's been and as big of a distraction as this has been for the Titans, it's still not good news when you're drafting a first-round pick and he brings absolutely nothing to the table. This is something that lingers on your roster. You need your first-round picks to come in and be productive immediately. So while I think the immediate reaction today for Titans fans is thank God he's gone and thank God the Titans have found a way to move on and now you can just kind of move on from here away from Isaiah Wilson, this is going to be something where you look a couple years down the road and the failure of this and this not working out is going to impact this roster. And that's something with John Robinson you've got to try to overcome.
Absolutely. This leaves a mark. I mean, you get one of those a year, maybe. Sometimes you trade him, you don't get one. And those have to come through for you. They all do. And you can't have many misses, and this is a real miss. I mean, now they have to figure something out for the future at that position, and that was what this was supposed to handle for the next few years. So it's a good outcome to find someone and be able to move on if he passes a physical. It does not change. And really what it does is it cements, because there was always that, you know, that faint hope that, okay, Isaiah Wilson's going to, you know, show up in the offseason and be all ready to go and figure it out. I think he's got a lot of talent. I mean, it makes sense why they drafted him. And again, going back on all the information, I talked to more people last night too, on the media side, who, you know, and in particular, like in the Miami side, it was like, yeah, I mean, everything that they've heard was like the no flag thing. I know we had, was it Tony Pauline last week, right? Yeah. You know, some kind of a red flag for some teams, but man, there wasn't much. So it was just a complete whiff, and it leaves a mark. I mean, and it cements what last offseason was. You can't have another one of those. You can maybe have one. Maybe. You can maybe have one of those. You can have one of those when you've had four really good ones before it.
Right. You built up some equity.
When you have an offseason like that, and then you go 11-5, win the division, hey, good for you. Big picture, good for you. Also, it's going to go the other way if you have an offseason anything close to this again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a crucial offseason for John Robinson. You cannot approach the ineptitude of last offseason. I just wonder, like, for Isaiah Wilson's sake, you mentioned now a change of scenery in Miami. Like, you're rooting for the person to figure it out and go there, and hopefully he can have, you know, the start of an NFL career, because it really hasn't even started yet up to this point. But what will it say, like, if he does go and immediately figures it out and he's playing for Miami next year? Like, does that tell you anything about the Titans?
Well, hey, people will talk about it. You know, I mean, I think, look, again, I hope that happens. That'd be great to see. I know Titans fans won't like it, but I hope it happens. If it does happen, from what we know of the Titans, I mean, is anybody else here angry or unhappy in the organization? I mean, it probably says something about the pandemic, more than anything, and about being right out of college and getting all this money and being isolated in a pandemic and all the factors. And we've talked about it. I've said my piece about Isaiah Wilson. I'm still amazed at some of the takes in this town and not being able to read the tea leaves on him. I mean, there's some, you know, there's some stuff that's gone on here that just doesn't add up. But I hope that's the case. I don't think it will be a comment on the Titans. A lot of people will try to make it a comment on the Titans.
I found it fitting that he got traded to Miami for two reasons. One, that's where the video emerged right after New Year's.
It was.
I think that's when everyone checked out officially on Isaiah Wilson. Also, their abbreviation is MIA, and that's what he was all season for the Titans. So
wow. Boy coming right off the top rope with a dad joke. Ten minutes into the show.
That was good. That was a good dad joke. That was some good wordplay there.
That was good.
Well, I don't know if Miami's the best place.
I don't know if it is either.
But, you know, that's not for the Titans to worry about anymore.
It is not, and we'll see what happens with Isaiah Wilson. And now, you're the Titans, like, does this affect the way you draft this year? Like, you've still got Dennis Kelly there, and you obviously you can't go draft a tackle in the first round. Like, the Titans are not going to do that this year unless somebody that we don't expect just falls there, I guess. I mean, you could leave that possibility open, but I wonder how this affects what they do at right tackle in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, drafting him last year, obviously they lose Conklin, but drafting him last year was in tandem with what they thought was going to be free agent gold and pass rush, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, now I think some kind of tackle being drafted at some point is possible, but I'd be shocked if they go, because now their needs in those other areas are so pressing. I mean, how can you not address those first?
Yeah, I think it's lots of pressing needs for the Titans, and who knows, in a couple years, I mean, you may have to revisit this position again in the first round and draft another tackle. So we'll see what the Titans end up doing when it comes to that, maybe this year in free agency as well. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss the Isaiah Wilson news and get your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Isaiah Wilson's disastrous tenure in Tennessee is over. The Titans were clearly fed up with their 2020 first round pick, trading him for pennies to Miami. And it's clear for a guy who had more off the field issues than offensive snaps that his career is on the brink. He'll get a second chance in Miami. And two things to note is that Brian Flores actually knows Wilson. Wilson went to his former high school in Brooklyn, and the Dolphins rookie offensive guard Solomon Kinley played with Wilson in Georgia. So they're hopeful those connections will help Wilson uncover a type of discipline that he didn't have in Tennessee. But ultimately, this will be up to Wilson. He has to act right. He has to know that his career is on the brink for this to work out.
That was Cameron Wolf, who covers the Dolphins for ESPN. Former Nashville resident Cameron Wolf as well does a great job down there in Miami with the Dolphins, discussing the Isaiah Wilson situation, the Titans trading Isaiah Wilson yesterday to the Miami Dolphins, basically exchanging seventh round picks in 2021 and 2022. And we're taking your reaction all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, as this news was coming out last night, I was kind of racking my brain trying to think if I could remember a first-round pick that just went off the rails, I guess, as quickly as this one did. I mean, you're talking about less than a calendar year from the last draft, and the guy is no longer a part of your team. What do you have? He had four snaps total. I think one of them was a
– three?
Maybe it was three snaps. Yeah, special team snap and two kneel downs. So yeah. Three snaps total. So no meaningful play whatsoever. Like, there's nothing jumping out to me right away, especially like in Titans history. I'm trying to think of like overall NFL history, if there has been a first round draft pick that is just totally faded as quickly as this one.
I mean, I'm sure there's been in the history of the league in the first round, probably a few, but boy, not many.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest bust you think of,
like generally quarterbacks.
Yeah. You know, or even like Tony Mandarich.
Yeah.
Is an example. But even Tony Mandarich actually, now of course we don't know how things are going to turn out for Isaiah Wilson. Tony Mandarich, you know, came in, played, started, was okay, wasn't great, was out of the league, came back to the league. So even that, it's just the fact that he went number two before Barry Sanders. Yeah. You're like, what in the world? You know? So like lower picks in the first round that have totally flamed out. I'm sure there's some, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. That were just, you know, again, we'll see. We'll see what happens with him now. But to not contribute at all, and not just to not contribute, to have all these off-field issues.
Right.
I don't know. I can't think of a comp to that.
No, I can't either. And I wonder if you're Miami, like how patient are you going to be with this? Because you've obviously, I mean, you've gotten him for pennies on the dollar, but you're trying to get this talent to come in and make a huge difference for your group. Like, if the behavior continues and he continues to be unreliable, I wonder how long Miami kind of waits with this before he's just out of the league. Like, Isaiah Wilson, he's got to know that the leash, I think, should be pretty short with the Dolphins. Like, this is not something where they're just going to wait around forever.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, you know, it's there's a lot of red flags, obviously, now. And again, I didn't say it well last segment. Miami is a team that went through their process with him last year and came back no red flags. Now, that's great, you know, what you thought of him last year. Obviously, the red flags are popping up all over the place.
They have emerged.
Yeah. I mean, they know that. So, you know, obviously the idea would be, hey, new scenery. Look, it could be one person here who, for whatever reason, just bothered, was a problem for him. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think at some point, you know, and I don't think it's necessarily fair to the Titans, but at some point it seems like he got mad about stuff they were doing or saying or whatever, and it becomes this thing where it's like, well, it's just got to be a new place. So maybe that new place and how he's received and everything will change stuff for him. But I think, you know, there's got to be some change just on his part in general for this to work out for him.
I mean, you guys brought up first-round busts in NFL history. A lot of them are injury-related, too.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in Cincinnati brings up Kajana Carter.
Oh, man.
First overall pick, big star running back out of Penn State, and then he has all sorts of injuries.
I watched that. It was a preseason game against the Lions. I watched that play live. It was awful. Yeah, that's a great call.
And none of it, or I won't say none of them, but very few are just total off-the-field busts when, you know, it comes to the fact that he does, like, Isaiah Wilson played 4 snaps. Like, that, I would love to be able to go back and look at the career number of snaps of first-round picks and see if Isaiah Wilson's is the lowest or top 5 of the lowest, whatever.
I mean, there's probably some zeros, right? I mean, for whatever reason, there's probably some zeros, but not many. Speaking of the Lions, Reggie Rogers is an example, too, of a guy who went, I think, number 3 overall to the Lions. He had a DUI, which was part of his, you know, it was actually a hit-and-run collision. So he had a lot of issues like that. So but even he bounced around the league for a couple years after that. But he was the number 7 pick overall. I mean, there's cases like that. But yeah, not many.
Yeah, and the story, I guess, still yet to be written and finished on Isaiah Wilson. We'll see what he does in his next stop in Miami. But just from John Robinson's point of view, like, I wonder what today is like for John Robinson, because it was pretty apparent towards the end of this that they were fed up with Isaiah Wilson and this situation. You heard some comments from John Robinson a few weeks ago at his press conference about how he had not even been in communication with him. I sensed some frustration from Mike Vrabel talking about it at the end of the year, some frustration from his teammates as well, some strong comments from Roger Saffold at the end of the year. I just wonder what today is like for John Robinson when you've got, you know, the guy out of here and you can kind of move on and not have to deal with it anymore, while also balancing that, man, that was a first-round pick that we just totally wasted, like got absolutely nothing from. And I know general managers can't, like, just sit here and stew on things forever, but that's got to be an interesting feeling for John Robinson as they try to move on here with the offseason, getting ready to get fired up later this week.
I got a little sense for the building last night, and I'd say, to paraphrase, a little bit of a sigh and a little bit of a lot of frustration, you know. So, yeah, I mean, like, you can't – no one can celebrate this because, as we've said, this is bad, you know, for the Titans. Yeah. Ultimately, the only good outcome was Isaiah Wilson figures it out, and the huge investment you made in him, not financial, but the huge draft capital investment you made in him comes through. It's the only way this was a good outcome for the Titans. But I don't think that there was a ton of optimism either as they were trying to deal him, that they were necessarily going to get it done, because I'm sure a lot of teams out there are like, no, thank you. So the fact that they found someone certainly helps them.
So what does this do financially for the Titans? That's the big question Titans fans are wanting to know, because we've talked about it so much with the offseason being what it is, the cost-cutting that's taking place, and who knows what happens later this week with not only the Titans but other teams around the NFL. Moves are already starting to be made. Trades are being made. Cuts are being made. What does this do for the Titans financially as they try to move forward here?
Here's exactly how it was described to me by a source last night. I'm quoting. Portion of the prorated signing bonus accelerates forward to 21. That offsets with the salary he would have made. I mean, basically, you know, they're losing some space, but obviously they're saving the money that they would have paid him.
Right.
So, so basically, like, you know, again, their take is basically there's no financial benefit, but there is a financial benefit. The financial benefit is that you're not having that money down the road that right. you would have paid yeah. him this year. You're dumping his contract, and also that does give you space in the next couple of years where you could maybe apply it now. So as we talk about all the restructuring stuff and everything. You know, that does open up some more that you could potentially use now if you're trying to deal, help someone else's contract.
So right.
It's not a huge benefit, but again, I mean, if the alternative is this, that you cut him and eat all that money, then I mean, this is still certainly a much better situation.
It is a much better situation. And quite frankly, a situation that I did not think that we would find ourselves in talking about. Like when we talked about the Titans trying to trade Isaiah Wilson, I honestly did not think that somebody would go down that road. But I think this is just yet another example in the NFL where if you've got enough talent, you'll get a shot from somebody. You'll get a second chance from somebody. And again, it's not like Miami has paid some huge price for this. So I know it wasn't this big risk on their part. But I am a little bit surprised that somebody went down the trade route with Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know how much homework Miami did on this. You know, again, Cam, miss you, Cam. Cam Wolf yeah. Mentioned the high school connection, you know, with Flores and Isaiah. So how much, I imagine, I'm sure it wasn't just like, who? Oh, Isaiah, yeah, sure. Seventh round picks, we'll take him on. I'm sure that they did some work on this. And a lot of it is just like, okay, what can we do to figure this kid out? Because if you do, he is talented. If he's in shape and everything, I mean, there's a reason the Titans took him when he did. So I guess ultimately you go through a whole league. Usually it's just like the Titans taking Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different situation, but red flags galore, and it was like, we can fix him. He's got talent. We've seen the talent. We can figure it out. And so I guess it's not, if you really think about this whole league, shocking that you'd find one.
All right. I'm going to throw a name at you, Joe, in terms of first-round busts that may compare to Isaiah Wilson.
Okay.
What does the name Tom Cousineau do for you with the Buffalo Bills in 1979? Number one pick to the Bills, and then he signed with the CFL.
I know the name.
Never played with the Bills.
Okay.
And then he tried to come back to the NFL a few years later, and the Bills traded his rights.
Isn't it Cousineau?
Cousineau, Cousineau, whatever.
I know the name. Yeah, he's on those bus lists, but I didn't know too many of the details. So it didn't play a snap, huh?
He's number two on the list that I'm looking at.
Whose list is it?
Bleacher Report.
And who's number one?
Jay Berwanger from the Eagles in like 1936.
Of course.
Oh,
number,
my God.
Who could forget?
Number one overall pick, never played a down in the NFL.
Well, wait, was Jay Berwanger the first Heisman winner?
I have no idea, man.
That's an amazing list that Jay Berwanger would be for. Now I need to look this up. I'm pretty sure, a great name, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, Jay Berwanger is the first Heisman winner. How about that? The first Heisman winner, and he's a total NFL bust.
Didn't work out well.
I'll give
for
you
Mr.
another
Berwanger.
One. I mean, with the Lions, I can come up with a lot. Andre Ware, man. Oh, boy. Heisman winner. And whew. But you know, he played a few snaps and probably won a couple games and all that. It's hard to find like
enjoy
the
his
total
work on the
zero.
SEC network.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's all right.
Is he a better analyst than he was NFL quarterback?
Probably so.
Yeah, I mean, if he came on the air and like spat into the microphone, he would be a better analyst than quarterback.
Coming up next, we'll continue the discussion on the Tennessee Titans and revisit some comments made here on the show yesterday by Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN regarding Corey Davis. Holds Corey Davis in a little bit less of a regard than Joe and I do. Do we agree with that and how the Titans should handle the wide receiver position this offseason? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Corey Davis is an interesting one in Tennessee.
That's right, Andrew. Corey Davis with a bounce-back season in 2020, 65 catches in 14 games for the Titans. And this was after the team declined his fifth-year option for the former number 5 overall draft pick. Now, there's a long history of receivers in the second wave getting paid. So while we focus on all the big names, Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, as well as the likes of Juju Smith-Schuster and Will Fuller, don't be surprised if Davis does well, too. Now, also, let's mention this in regard to the money with all these guys. Is Corey Davis a $6 to $8 million cash-in or more like $10 to $12 million? That's what nobody knows, how exactly the money is going to roll out, because in part, we still don't have a salary cap number.
That was our good friend Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network talking about Corey Davis and the free agency discussion surrounding the Titans wide receiver. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Port there with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is going to be very interesting to see how the Titans value Corey Davis, and if it gets to this point, how the league values Corey Davis as well. And we were discussing it on the show yesterday, as we've done a lot, talking about the three big name potential free agents that the Titans have in Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and Jayon Brown, and how we would rank those free agents. And I think we've gone back and forth between Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith being at the top of that list, and Jayon Brown, at least with us, has pretty consistently been third, even though like there's this gigantic gap that we've got between the three of them. But we had Mike Tannenbaum on yesterday from ESPN to talk about this situation, the free agency, especially those three guys with the Titans, and how he would handle Corey Davis and the wide receiver position. Here's what Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN had to say yesterday.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I think Corey Davis is a really good player. He's improved. But when you just talk about the supply and the demand of the position, you know, you probably would have to put him third. You know, just from a standpoint of, I think this is similar to Chris Godwin and Shaq Barrett in Tampa, which is Godwin is younger. He's a really good player, but there's so many receivers out there, guys. I think Corey Davis, you know, initially got off to a slow start, but he's gotten better. I just think you've got to be patient with him. And then as it relates to Jonnu Smith, I would definitely try to sign him. He's a guy that's a good point of attack, tight end. They're hard to find. I think he's a really good fit in that program. And Jayon Brown's a good player. You know, he's overcome, like, his height deficiencies. And I think that's someone you got to proceed with caution and hopefully get him back at the right price.
So, Joe, what did you think of what Mike Tannenbaum said yesterday here on the show, talking about how the Titans should handle free agency and prioritizing Corey Davis at number three because of the position that he plays and how much depth there could be this offseason to finding replacements for Corey Davis?
I like the term height deficiency.
That's nice.
You could just say, like, he's short.
I'm going to use that from now on.
You have height deficiencies?
I don't really have height deficiencies. No, I'm not deficient in height, but some athletes are.
Yeah. I hear what he's saying. I hear what he's saying about Corey Davis. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, like tight end. I don't think I'm flip-flopping again on Jonnu. I never should have wavered. I wavered.
Should have stood your ground.
I should have stood my ground. I initially, you know, had Jonnu first. Then I was like, but Davis is really good. No, but to Tannenbaum's point, there are a lot of guys out there. And for as much as Corey Davis improved, I mean, if I did a podcast with one of our Washington reporters yesterday, Ben Standig, and he asked a lot of questions about Corey Davis.
I bet he did.
And by the way, also about Marcus Mariota, because they may be looking at Marcus Mariota. And I'm like, Ben, if you're going to have him come into your town, it's Mariota, dude. It's Mariota.
Yeah.
I want you to be a trendsetter in Washington media. It's not Mariota.
That's his alter ego.
Like everyone, like it's amazing.
When he's skipping the ball on an 8-yard out route, it's Mariota.
Oh, when he yeah. stinks, it's Mariota. Yeah, yeah, okay. But they're interested, and certainly the team he covers is very interested. So if there's a team that looks at Corey Davis like a one-ish receiver, what do?
Let him walk.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have him back. I don't think there's a, and I understand Corey Curtis. He's on the other side of this. I understand this is not Travis Kelce. This is not someone giving you 800 to 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns. I don't think there's a lot of Jonnu Smiths walking around out there. So I hear what he's saying. Now, Jayon Brown is, to me, it's been an afterthought with Jayon Brown. Maybe I'll be shocked, but to me, it's been an afterthought. I don't see how you even consider it, given all the other challenges.
Is it because of the height deficiency?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but his deficient heightness is a problem, I guess.
I guess so. That was the first time I've heard somebody use that to describe Jayon Brown. It was awesome. Height deficiency.
Yeah. I mean, just an interesting way to say someone isn't very tall.
Yeah. That's pretty good by Mike Tannenbaum there. Look, I've had Corey Davis ranked number one in terms of my priority list for the Titans free agency. Now, admittedly, I think that's largely because I've watched the Titans for a long time, and I recognize how difficult it's been for them to find receivers, especially receivers that are consistently productive. I mean, you think about it even recently. Until A.J. Brown and Corey Davis walked in here, Kendall Wright was okay for a little while. Taywan Taylor was in here. Justin Hunter was in here.
Rishard Matthews was good in 16,
but they didn't
man.
Draft him. I mean, it's right. just
– Kenny Britt.
Drafting receivers has been a nightmare for this franchise. So now that you've finally got two that you feel good about, maybe it's just a guy in me who's grown up around here and has watched the Titans try to do this for so long that now that you've got two, please don't let them walk out the door. But to your point, like if you start getting into, 13, 14, or even Pro Football Focus money who has Corey Davis making like 16 and a half per year, you just can't do that if you're the Titans. There's no way.
No, you can't. You just can't. And look, it's just he's a good player. I don't want to take anything away from Corey Davis. I think he's a great – that was a question I got too is, and in fact, Jayon Brown is a guy that Washington apparently may be interested in too. But I was asked a question about both of them. Like, what about, locker room presence? I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, that's 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. Corey Davis, absolutely. You want him on your team. You want him in your locker room. He's a pro. But how much has he benefited from – being on the same team with Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown? I would say quite a bit.
Probably so.
I think he's had some pretty good matchups. And again, it's not taking anything away from him. You make plays, you make plays. But anybody out there who wants to bring him in, and this is the number five pick. So the number five pick is supposed to be the guy who does for you what A.J. Brown does for you. And that's not what he is.
I get that money talks. And ultimately, that's how you make a lot of these decisions in free agency. But if you're Corey Davis, like, what could compel you to go want to play for the Washington football team other than money? Like, I look at that roster and I'm like, huh, okay, no thanks.
Yeah, okay. Well, but that's true. But, I mean, if you're him, put yourself in his shoes, and you have a chance to go make 15 a year.
Sure, I get it.
I mean,
yeah,
it'd be hard. And then, or it's like, well, or I could stay here where I like it, and it's a good team, and I like these guys, and make 10. I mean, that's pretty easy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get that money talks, but
hey, Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron,
yeah,
they're getting it going.
Gotta have they somebody get Mariota. Eventually to throw the ball.
They're getting Mariota in there.
That would not be a positive for me if I'm Corey Davis. I've gone down that road before.
That'd be. I hope that happens. I mean, I don't know that it would be a great move for Washington. Probably wouldn't be, but I'd love to
do
see
not
him
stain
get that
Marcus Mariota and bring him in the same organization as Dan Snyder. He's too good a person for it. Don't do it.
Yeah, well, that's true. But there's other people that are fine people in that organization. There's plenty of evil owners in sports. He's just a special brand of it.
We'll be taking your thoughts all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Sandy from Sparta text in, going back to our discussion on Isaiah Wilson, and says, It would be poetic justice for Miami to hit on Isaiah Wilson when the Titans came out on the good side of the Ryan Tannehill deal.
It is probably fair, right?
Just trade it off, yeah.
I mean, when Miami – the funny thing is, too, like when that trade happened, I mean, what were people in Miami saying? Oh, take that away.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you. Just take him.
Take that money. Take that contract. Whatever. Bye. You know, not, there wasn't much left of it. But, you know, what, fourth-round pick? Is that what that was?
Yeah, fourth-round pick. Take. And then when he came in and started lighting it up, I mean, just the reaction from some Dolphins fans, it was like they'd seen a ghost. You got Tua now, so I guess there's reason to be excited.
I guess. I don't know.
Apparently someone want to move on from
Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Yeah, Tua wasn't immediately an all-pro, so move on from him.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, a quarterback around the league yesterday got an absolute monster deal. Is he worth it? And what does this mean for the future of quarterback contracts? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. How'd you like to watch the Preds game in style? Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. And we'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, it was a very good day yesterday for Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. We've talked about the deal that the Cowboys are trying to come to with him, and this is not just a this offseason thing. Last offseason as well, he was placed on the tag. And as we know, suffered the gruesome injury early in the season, and it was off to a great start last year. Gets hurt, and you wondered, okay, what does the future look like for Dak Prescott? What sort of long-term commitment are the Cowboys willing to make? And it comes out yesterday that Dak Prescott has agreed to a four-year, $160 million contract that is $126 million of which is guaranteed. And the deal, technically for 6 years, but it voids to four to help the Cowboys against the salary cap. It could totally be up worth to $164 million in this deal. And the thing that stood out to me in this deal, Joe, Prescott's signing bonus is $66 million. That is the highest signing bonus in the history of the NFL. And he is due $75 million total in year one of this contract. Good day to be Dak Prescott yesterday.
I mean, a lot of people are like, you know, 2020 sucks, can't wait for 2021. Man, 2021 is a way better year for Dak Prescott than 2020. It's a monster deal. And, Schefter tweeted last night, a source said they think this is Jerry Jones kind of hinting at the big TV deal to come.
Yeah.
You know, our guy, Bob Sturm, one of our Cowboys writers, he wrote about this. Trust me, quote, trust me, I promise you that within 12 months, Prescott's AAV, annual average value, of $40 million will not be in the top five in the league, and it might only take 6 months. So then you think about the Mahomes deal. Oh, and by the way, think about the Tannehill deal.
Yeah.
It's like dollar store quarterback. But it's still just a massive number for Dak Prescott. I mean, Dak Prescott's good. To me, like, this isn't good. I don't think it's good for the Cowboys. It's going to make it tougher to put a good team around him. That's the challenge here. I don't know what the alternative is, though. I mean, if you don't make a deal with him,
trade for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, unless you can do something like that, you're kind of in a bind, right? I mean, I'd rather have Dak Prescott than a lot of quarterbacks.
Sure.
He's good. He's very good. Boy,
he's not an elite guy, though.
I agree. I agree. I don't think he's – like, again, so look at the deal. It's 460, right? So what is this deal compared to? Deshaun Watson, 4-156,
yeah.
Right? And again, it has who's better? It's not even close. I don't think it's even close. Deshaun Watson is much – I would pay Deshaun Watson double what I'd pay Dak Prescott, but that's what it is in this league. What's the last deal? Who's the next guy getting the big deal? Okay, well, I get a little bit more than the last deal. It doesn't matter if you're better than that guy or not. And also, let's face it, you're the quarterback of the Cowboys.
Right.
That's another part of this.
Like, I get it. Prescott, I mean, the numbers he was putting up last year before he got hurt were pretty outstanding. I mean, you're talking about five games. He had 1,856 yards, nine touchdowns, four picks on the season. I mean, the passing yards, he's putting up a lot of yards. Now, a lot of that was also they were down so much
right, their D was
in the
so
games
bad.
That he was just having to throw the ball every snap. But to your point, like if you're Jerry Jones, and maybe this is just a kind of an illustration of where the cap is going and where the new TV deal could land things. And if that's true, if this contract that Dak Prescott just signed in terms of the annual average value is not in the top five, you know, 6 months from now, okay, I guess more power to you if you're a quarterback in the NFL. But I look at that roster. You've got Ezekiel Elliott, who signed to the big deal, who is not the same guy, at least hasn't played like the same guy.
Yeah, didn't look like it last year.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Amari Cooper there as well, and Dak Prescott now with this contract. That's a whole lot of money tied up in three guys. And we saw some deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball last year with them. I think they got better as the season went on that side of the ball, but to your point, it's a lot of money tied up in three people. It's going to be difficult to compete and build a team around them that can be a Super Bowl threat in the NFC, at least in my opinion. Like, I just don't see a path for that.
Right. Now, again, you go down the road a little bit, and if this TV deal, all of a sudden the cap goes way this way, and this deal, and you have more deals come, and now this isn't this crazy deal, and you've got more room, okay. You know, I mean, maybe it's a forward-thinking move from Jerry Jones. But it's right now, looking at it, that just seems like a crazy number for him. Good player.
And also, like, I get it. Modern technology and recovery has come a long way. That was a pretty gross injury he had. So, like, you're taking a risk that he's going to come back and be the same guy. Like, that was a very serious injury. And by all accounts, the rehab's going very well for Dak Prescott. And they expect him to be ready to play this next season. And who knows? Maybe he probably does come out there and he looks like the same guy. But you're also taking a bit of a risk here if you're Dallas with this deal of what happens if he comes back and he's not completely healthy, or he comes back and he just doesn't look like the same player that he looked like before the injury. I mean, I get it. Every contract is a calculated risk to some degree. But that was certainly a part of the discussion in my mind of, are you sure he's going to come back and be the same guy? Because that injury was pretty gross.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot for an injury anymore to scare teams off, you know?
Yeah.
It used to be, like, seriously, an ACL used to be like, ooh, that might be it. It's almost an afterthought. Now, we'll say that if you want to know how you should feel about this, you know, Vanderbilt grad and
yes.
Sports hot take legend Skip Bayless had a tweet that was like just yes, 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 yes in all caps.
Well, I think he said also yesterday on the show that it wasn't going to happen. So,
just wow, he's finally wrong really about something.
Yeah. Took him this long to be wrong. Wow.
Oh, boy. Journalism legend Skip Bayless.
Hey, went to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, man.
You're darn right. They give out a journalism award in his name. They do.
I know.
Is it for the journalist who is the most wrong?
My guy Cutler Klein won it, I believe.
Hey, big Cutler. Shout out to him.
I miss you, Cutler. Shout out Cutler Klein.
I look at this deal for Prescott. And again, like you said, like I'm looking at the highest signing bonuses in NFL history. So he's getting $66 million this year. Russell Wilson held the previous record at $65 million. Rodgers, Stafford, Ryan, Flacco, Aaron Donald. It shows you how good Aaron Donald is. He's in the discussion with quarterbacks in terms of highest signing bonuses in NFL history.
So again, there's your – so it's a million more than the biggest.
Yeah.
It's a couple million more of an overall deal over Deshaun Watson, you know.
So what do you think we're going to get to with quarterbacks and the deals that they're starting to sign? We've talked about the Mahomes deal, the Watson deal, now this Dak Prescott deal as well. As new TV money continues to come in, like, are we going to get to the place where quarterbacks start getting paid like $50 million a year, $55 million per year?
Sure. Again, when Matt Stafford signed that 30, he was number one. It was at $30 million a year. Yeah. It was like, what are you, how long ago was that? 4 years ago?
Wasn't very long, yeah.
Yeah. We're absolutely heading to that.
So who gets that deal? Trevor Lawrence?
Fine. Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, who right now is a couple, two, 3 years into their rookie deal who may be coming up on something big. Baker Mayfield. Well, I mean, I know Baker Mayfield's not great either, but you think Baker Mayfield's not going to get a ridiculous deal?
He'll get a deal. Yeah, he'll get a deal.
Absolutely. Kyler Murray.
Hey, Tom Brady. Jason Light said the other day they wouldn't mind extending him.
He's cheap. But I think that Robert Kraft bought him an island during all those years in New England.
Kyler Murray could be a guy. Like Kyler Murray might be a guy that's trending in this direction.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, Baker, Kyler Murray. Yeah, there's so many we're not thinking of.
Josh Allen? You give Josh Allen some big money?
Absolutely. There you go. Like Josh Allen is going to bank. Josh Allen's going to bank big time after the way he played last year. He's going to have a monster deal.
What about Lamar Jackson? What do you think the next contract looks like for him? He's an interesting guy.
That is very interesting. Because it's not like – I mean, it's not like any team out there is like, oh, yeah, come on. I mean, you have to change everything you do. But it's pretty effective. I mean, if they have – you know, if they have a great year next year and he has a big year, I mean, I think he's going to get a huge number. He may be different, but
he is an NFL MVP.
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously you got some of these other guys who are real young, and we'll see. You know, I mean, Burrow and some of those guys down the road. But yeah, those are the ones who stand out for sure. You know, some guys coming in this year who I mean, I don't know. Then there's guys like, you know, Daniel Jones or whatever. I don't know, but yeah, Josh Allen is a great call. Like, he will at some point be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, probably so.
You know,
but to your point,
He's not the number one quarterback in the NFL, but he will be the highest paid quarterback.
It's funny because to your point, last year I remember when Ryan Tannehill signed his deal, and you looked at me. We were doing it on the show, and you looked at me right in the face and said, "It will take 5 months, and Ryan Tannehill's deal will look just like a bargain basement deal for the Titans." And it did. Like, he came out last year, played really well. Mahomes signed his new deal. Watson signed his new deal. And you're like, okay, this number for Ryan Tannehill looks really good. If this is a trend that's about to start, the number for Ryan Tannehill for the Titans, it's going to look very, very good.
Yeah, like, well,
excellent.
And if you want to be optimistic as a Titans fan, when we're talking about, you know, maybe this Dak number, the TV deal, the cap, all these things that could change, you know, think about what you might be able to do in like 2023.
Yeah.
It's not like a rookie deal, but it's like, gosh, your quarterback makes that little money and he plays that if he keeps playing this well. That's kind of a little dose of optimism on the day that your first round pick just got traded for nothing.
When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. Some trade rumors swirling around one of the top guys for the Predators. Do we think it's a good idea? Do we think it's a route the Predators should even consider? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rextro live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.